There is no reality in which those names exist.
Exactly. This is Nubsy and Schmo.
That is one of the fundamental laws of physics. You can have your multiverse theory, but never Nubsy and Schmo.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates within Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Fell Grey hot.
Hello, and welcome to the Incomplete Series, the podcast where we watch the first episode of a TV show and the very last episode of a TV show and just try and figure out why the show exists. My name's Morgan, and joining me to do this for the 73rd time, well, actually, I don't think he's been in all 73 episodes, is my good friend Jeremy Wiseman. Jerome, how are you?
Doing very well, Morgan. How are you going?
I am also well. I'm feeling good after watching, doing some a little bit of that 90s sci-fi nostalgia, which I love, watching Sliders. So I'm feeling good, and I'm ready to talk about bad finales and good pilots. That's what I feel.
Wait, just no suspense.
No suspense. Well, I feel if people have clicked on the episode to listen to it, that's we're not leaving much.
They still
imagination.
Want some suspense, though. They don't want us to say the name straight off the bat.
I'm just trying.
Anyone who's playing,
hey, I'm just trying new things.
Anyone who's playing TIS Bingo, I'm sure they have to drink when we. I don't know if anyone's made a drinking game out of this podcast. I'm sure one of the things is when we say the name of the show, they got a drink.
I would also say one of the first things is that how many times Jez interrupts Morgan in the intro.
they're hammered right now.
You come in hot. And also, we've got my good friend Aaron Bowden. Abe, good to see you as always, even in a digital sense.
You too, Morgan. I think you definitely hit the nail on the head. Good pilot, bad finale. That's our wheelhouse. That's where we live.
It's
very comfortable with that setup.
Exactly. It's very rare it's the other way around. I think it's only happened like once or twice. So,
I'm very uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
Very uncomfortable when it does.
Exactly. So this is okay. This is right in our wheelhouse, as you said. And lastly, we have the linchpin of this whole organization, Scott. Scott, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. That's a hell of a compliment, first of all. Secondly, when you said you're also well, I thought you said Orson Welles.
Yeah, well, you know, I've worked with Orson.
There, are we?
I've worked with Orson in the past. In my John Larroquette series.
Don't want to get the listeners too drunk too early with Orson Welles talk right off the bat.
It's a deep history.
The Black Russians come out.
Yeah, Orson Welles talk is like finish the bottle.
Snorkel Black Russians.
If Orson Welles talk is finish the bottle, then what's...
Did Orson Welles drink Black Russians or something? Or just... What's all this?
I got that kind of vibe from him.
He would have refined taste. Jez, what if John Larroquette gets a mention? What do you do then in the drinking game?
Well, he's already got a mention, so I think it is...
it's game over.
You have to shelve two shots of vodka.
Ooh. With the glass?
No, you can just put a funnel in there and pour it straight in.
Okay. A bit of butt chugging.
A light butt chug, though. Not too much.
No wonder our Night Court episode had the highest hospitalization rate yet for one of our shows.
Yeah. There was a lot of butt chugging. That was part of the drinking game before the Night Court episode as well.
Never came up. He's been lurking.
That's why the reaction to it was so extreme, because they assumed they being the people that created the TIS drinking show. Drinking show? Drinking game. Yeah, they never have to, they never get called out on their Larroquette, their Larroquette rule.
Yeah, but we got them. We got them. We finally got them.
And now we have no listeners left.
Exactly. So
I just said Larroquette about... said it about six times now, so...
Yeah, that's okay, but we can rebuild, and the new Larroquette can be, I don't know... What about Jerry?
Anyone's listening to this
Jerry
on loudspeaker and they're passed out in their living room and they've got an Alexa in the corner, then Alexa, call an ambulance.
I like the idea that we're going to have to start releasing like COVID-style graphs for hospitalizations for listeners for our show.
Yep.
I didn't see things going down this pathway that early. Normally we're like 20 minutes into the episode before this stuff happens, but that's okay. But anyway, look, I already mentioned the show, Sliders. We did Sliders. This is one that has been on the radar-ish. As we sort of led in with, the pilot was good. I enjoyed the pilot of this.
It really says something when you go to turn on what you think is a TV show and the full movie Universal logo comes up at the start.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that was that was pretty.
Here we go.
That was pretty shocking.
90-minute runtime. Oh, my God.
Now, did you guys have any experience with Sliders prior to this little foray we entered? I did watch a little bit of it back in the day.
Really?
I feel like it's been heavily referenced.
I expect nothing less from you, Morgan.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've seen a few of the ads. As soon as I turned it on, I knew this would be right up your alley.
Mm.
But I feel like it's been heavily referenced in other TV shows. I think it might have been one of those, you know, weird, obscure 90s shows that had a pretty big impact, like a disproportionate impact on people that are creating TV shows now. I feel like it's something that maybe Dan Harmon has tapped into a fair bit.
You know what? I reckon this has come up.
I got a lot of Rick and Morty, not like the humor, but the sci-fi elements.
Yeah.
How heavily do you reckon it took a lead from Quantum Leap?
I was going to say, there's a lot of Quantum Leap in this.
Strong Bacula vibes.
Yeah.
Leaping and sliding are quite close.
I know.
The same sort
but
of
he
action.
He doesn't go into someone else's body. He's in, it's, you know, they go through the portal kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And it's an ensemble cast rather than just Bacula and then a little bit of Dean Stockwell. Like, you get a bit more, it's a little more fleshed out with that sense. But it is very much cut from the ilk of Quantum Leap. But the concept itself is pretty. It's cool. It's interesting. It's engaging, and the one thing that struck me with this leading in is the cast. A bit of Moneyball cast. You know, you get Jerry O'Connell, like poor man's version of Tom Cruise. It's like getting David Swallow as your best midfielder.
They like right? get a lot of results, but not a lot of big stars. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
And then exactly.
In case anyone doesn't know Jerry O'Connell,
people know Jerry O'Connell.
Obviously,
don't insult our listeners.
I know. Obviously, we've all seen Kangaroo Jack,
and Joe's Apartment,
and Stand By Me.
No, never heard.
Is
of
he in Stand By Me? Is he one of the boys?
More of a
he's
Kangaroo Jack
kid.
Man.
He's Vern. Yeah.
Well, there you
also,
go.
Believe it.
Also,
look at him now,
John Rhys Davies. I mean, he's that man. He's one of those guys. He's an old school thespian from the UK. Mm. But he's the sort of guy. Who just if you're paying him, he's going to turn up. Just give him some cash, and he's just a workhorse. But he's been in two of the most successful movie franchises of the last 50 years in Lord of the Rings.
Was he the professor? Was that Gimli?
Yeah, he's Gimli. Yeah, JRD.
Damn.
I've heard some great John Rhys Davies stories. I reckon he's the sort of guy that you want to. If you're in a movie with John Rhys Davies, you bolt yourself onto him, and you're in for a good time.
It's like if you're out for a night, you don't go home until John Rhys Davies goes home.
Exactly.
You want to be there for the whole show.
Real wily veteran.
Where have you heard these stories? Just you and Peter Jackson shooting the shit.
Yeah. No, to be honest, I'll tell you. I'll get you into the mind of
PJ, as you call him.
It was from the appendices section of the Lord of the Rings extended edition DVDs. I watched all of the Fellowship of the Rings back in the day.
You're going deep.
Yeah, I watched it, and then all the cast were talking about how hilarious it was just to go out with John Rhys Davies. Like you go to a restaurant and he would order for everyone. He'd put away like two bottles of Chianti. He's just like an absolute animal. Like he just real old school. And that's why I just went job to job, just monkey barring. And then
monkey barring, is that an industry term that I'm not aware of?
You're not in the industry.
You learn something new every podcast, Jez.
How does
you,
one?
You need
monkey
to spend
bar?
More time with PJ, Jez. I'll show you the ropes.
Me, PJ, Rhys Davies, hanging out at Little John's in Auckland South after shooting some of the extra scenes from
JRD.
Two Towers. Man, it was great.
You call him JRD, right?
I call we call him RD.
He calls him Junior D.
Yeah, Geordie or Geord for short. We just combined all Geord.
Mm. Oh, Junie,
Big Jane.
Junes. What's up, my man?
I just want to circle back. So none of you guys watched this when we were growing up, because this was
I've
on.
Not seen
this
a
was
single
on
second.
Yeah, no. I definitely didn't watch this pilot.
Like, none of us are on speaking terms with Peter Jackson.
Yeah, okay, it wasn't familiar to me, but I had seen.
We didn't twist our arm into watching it.
I feel like through osmosis that I probably have seen it more because you and I watched that enough times that I feel like it.
Lord of the Rings or Sliders? Yeah,
yeah. Well, I remember going to your house and watching the extended editions a lot when we were young teenagers.
It's what we did.
You loose
as
you
said, as we've said before,
we were popular drunk. With the ladies.
We were.
Yeah, you meant to pass that. 11 hours every weekend.
Hey, that's exactly.
Those
exactly.
days would just drag out forever.
It's like we're like
you
the men.
Me, PJ, we'd all sit around. And we'd all
talk shop.
We were 14. He was 58.
Just, yeah,
just monkey barring about.
It wasn't weird.
Just monkey bar.
Wasn't weird.
We just tell him what we'll tell him what project he has to monkey bar to. Where's he going? All right. Well, look, there'll be more shop talk. I can promise you that. But maybe we should jump into the pilot, and then we can sort of start to unpack this show from there.
You mean the Fellowship of the Ring?
Yeah, we're going to monkey bar from the Fellowship of the Ring into the pilot of Sliders.
Sliders kicks off with young physics student Quinn discovering a way to open portals to alternate realities, colloquially known as sliding. He convinces his college professor Maximilian, played by John Rhys-Davies, aka Gimli from Lord of the Rings, and fellow student Wade to come along for a slide with him.
Then in the interest of science, I suppose I must go along with you for this joyride.
Something goes wrong and washed-up singer Rembrandt Crying Man Brown accidentally slides in with them. They wind up in a universe where Earth is in an ice age with a tornado bearing down upon them. They manage to slide out just in time and they think they've made it home. Only it turns out that they just slid into another reality where the Soviets won the Cold War and the US is under communist rule.
Now thanks to our Comrades Call Comrades program, we can save you up to 6 rubles a year on long distance to the motherland.
They perform a daring raid with a rebel army to free their alternate selves from being political prisoners and finally manage to slide on home. But one final twist, in this universe, Quinn's formerly deceased father is still alive, revealing they haven't actually made it home at all.
This is one of the better movies I've seen, I think.
Oh,
full stop.
Really?
In terms
this
of pilot movie.
It's like a movie.
That was like a movie.
It is a movie. Yeah. Although there is kind of, there's two distinct episodes. It's like him discovering the sliding
the whole
mechanic
sliding thing. Yeah.
And then going to the Ice Age and then the weird Rembrandt B story where he's going to the Dodgers game.
He's
going
to go sing the national anthem.
Or the Cubs.
The whole, sucked in.
And then it ends with them going back through the wormhole. And then the second episode is the Soviet world.
Mm.
But first thing, I guess, is just how cliched the backwards alternate reality-ness of the first alternate reality.
Yeah,
is.
Just red is green.
It's like that Simpsons episode where, you know, Homer goes back in time and like steps on a whole bunch of bugs and it flips the current timeline. It's just, up is down and like he's driving on the wrong side of the road.
What are you, blind? It's a green light for crying out loud.
Mexico is good, the US is bad.
Yeah. All the Americans are like running across the Mexican border.
The Mexican government is complaining about all the Americans who are moving across the border illegally to live in Mexico.
What's going on?
You know, I don't know, you'd probably include that anymore.
Yeah, it was a bit.
Yeah, it's literally just.
Get away with that 99, not in 2021. Yeah.
Put food up your butt.
Sorry,
shit 97. Out your mouth kind of stuff.
Yeah, I guess it was pretty kind of like they just chose things that were really easy to do that you would because that would have cost them nothing. Yeah, there's no expense to that universe.
I'm sure I'm missing stuff.
There was global cooling instead of global warming.
I have been skeptical about this scientific theory, so called, about global cooling, but I don't know.
Yeah, that was. Global cooling.
Kennedy's still alive, and he's married to Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah. Elvis is still going.
Yeah, I enjoyed Harry Shearer. He was the voice of the shock jock.
Yeah, I caught
that.
That's
who it was.
Yeah,
okay.
Is he?
Because it sounded very Simpsons.
He was basically playing a million voices in The Simpsons, including Birch Barlow. They're like Republican shock jock, Rush Limbaugh type character, which is basically what he was doing in the Sliders. Yeah, yeah, blood on the knob.
But suppose for a second that your house was ransacked by thugs, your family tied up in the basement with socks in their mouths. You try to open the door, but there's too much blood on the knob.
Yeah, yeah.
Blood on the knob.
Right, I thought
he's playing like good riddance.
He's playing like a Howard Stern type where there's like, we're going to get all these women to come in, all these feminists are going to come in and take their tops off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was weird.
Wait, what?
I'll tell you, the air conditioning has got this studio so cold right now, no wonder nobody wants to come in here topless.
Well, actually, I had a note about that. I've forgotten about it now. Oh, man. Sort of things that didn't age well was in that universe they were talking about how the last CD-ROM has come off the line. Turns out vinyl won. Vinyl did win, it turned out, long term.
Yeah, vinyl won.
So it was very, it predicted
in terms of physical mediums.
Yeah, so. Who would have thought that, that it was pointing out how backwards this universe was, but it
maybe
was,
we're living in that universe.
Plus global warming's a hoax, so they were right on that as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's ticking a lot of boxes.
So Sliders was right all the way along. Can we also talk about Rembrandt? Why did they choose all the characters sort of make sense for the sliding characters, obviously Quinn, Mac, like all the characters sort of fit together.
They'll have some kind of relation. Kinda, yeah.
Why chuck in that character Rembrandt? Like, why that character? Like,
I don't know, he's funny.
I will be bigger than ever. Yeah, all my fans will be flocking to the field tonight.
Remy, you're singing the anthem at a Giants game, not performing for the Queen.
Why is his B story he needs to get to the Cubs game to sing the national anthem or something, and that's going to be his big break?
Like, I can't imagine that in this first episode they thought that maybe he was going to stay on for very long.
I don't know. He you was know? Always like
not
he,
to spoil
was,
the rest of this episode, but he's the one character
he's
the, that's
yeah. He's the only one that stays right through to the end, and he's in every episode.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's
absolutely the one you would least expect and least want, I would say.
Exactly, because he's the most like redundant character.
Yeah, he's funny for a bit part.
Yeah, but he seems like a character that you'd run into for one episode, not be a permanent part of the crew. Like, and it,
absolutely.
They make it. They kind of make.
And that's why we don't have a long running TV show. You know, we don't have that sort of creative vision.
No, we don't. It's all the elements of him. Like, why make him a singer from the '70s? Why all these choices they made for
it's
that
a funny,
character?
Yeah, it's a funny. Kind
why
of
is this big thing that he's going to miss out on being singing the national anthem at a?
Yeah,
like
he's
if he's
back.
A famous singer, surely he's got something better than.
And you can just tell from the fact, like, the guy who plays him, Clavant, whatever the actor's name is, guy can sing. Guy's got some pipes on him. I'll give him that. But they would have wheeled that out a lot throughout the season, their series. I have no doubt in my mind.
But now I'm found.
It's such a, like, a kind of ordinary character. Like, I kind of feel like it. Unless he'd watched more of it, like, he doesn't ruin the show. It's like, what's the point of having this guy? Like, he doesn't really bring much to the table. Yeah. The one scene that really struck me was when they go to the Cold War universe, and he's getting interrogated by the guy who was the lawyer in the actual universe. Do you notice how he's there? The Russians are interrogating him in a warehouse with like 20 other people getting interrogated around him.
Yeah, that was very planned interrogation.
It would be a wash of noise in there. It'd be so loud you could not have. You would have no idea what's going on. Like
terrible acoustics.
Yeah. Bad interrogation tactic. Don't put everyone in the same room. Put them in separate rooms. Like, just hire more warehouses. You control the country.
Really bothered me that scene. That was kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
And while we're on Rembrandt, I think we should tie up his arc in the Cold War universe as well, where he catches a taxi before he realizes that he's in an alternate reality, and he goes to pay with a good old American dollar, and that's a no-no there. So he gets dragged in and then taken to the only place they can sort this out, the People's Court.
Which is so good. It's so good. It's like alternate reality Judge Judy.
What's it? Wapner, which is like Judge Judy before Judge Judy. And they have a show trial, which I don't know. Show trials and Soviet Union, I wouldn't have put those two together. Doesn't seem like it'd fit, but it was good TV.
It is the perfect perfect blend of America and communist rule.
Now, the plaintiff did his civic duty by heroically detaining his insidious passenger long enough for the authorities to arrive. The defendant dubiously claims that he is not of this earth and therefore shouldn't be expected to abide by the laws of civilization.
Yeah, it was very good. That was probably the best part of both episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This show tonally is very, very strange.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
It's all over the place. There are so many little side bits that are like kind of serious, but also kind of like that whole People's Court bit went for like a good couple of minutes. Like, it's taken up some screen time and it's all just a big joke. Like,
it's just kind of a sketch.
It's like a Family Guy cutaway.
It's a sketch in this pilot movie thing.
Yeah, which is largely serious in tone.
Yeah.
Which is, Rembrandt is essentially trying to provide a bit of comic relief, but like I said, it's just a strange character to make the comic relief. Like, I don't know, why add the crying man, the musical element to him?
Yeah. Did you guys see that John Landis was a...
Yeah, John Landis was an EP on this.
Which, like, that sort of makes a little bit more sense, because he did, like, Blues Brothers and stuff, right?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, there's your singing element and your sort of comedy element as well. Like, it kind of makes sense. We don't want
any of those two things, really, in this, like, serious sci-fi show, but we got them.
I think it really works. I think it's, like, a big reason why the pilot's so good. Is because it has...
Because of Rembrandt.
The courtroom stuff was very... That was very, like, borderline Rick and Morty kind of, absurdist, weird cutaway humor. It was actually
intergalactic
good
television, right?
Like, pretty much.
Yeah.
And it was, but like the whole show itself was a little bit tongue in cheek most of the way through. Like, obviously Rembrandt's character probably leant into that a little bit more, but like, it's not like even like the professor had, while he was really pompous and serious, he was still a little bit funny as well.
Jesus, Mariam Joseph. I think I've just seen God and I could have sworn he was driving a Cadillac.
Like, I think it's important when you do these sci-fi shows, you don't take it way too seriously because it can make them a little bit...
It's inherently absurd.
Exactly. So you need to have that element to sort of ground it a little bit, which is what I think this show did quite well.
Did you enjoy when I think it was mostly in like the first 20 minutes or so when Jerry O'Connor was trying to crack this trying to get the formula right for altered dimensions, and he figured out something but he wasn't sure what it was, and like the wormhole appeared. When he was like watching back footage, like he would film these kind of vlogs of him doing these experiments, and he was like, when he was watching it back, he was so proud of himself. He was sitting back in the chair, like,
he got a few laughs from himself.
Powering the whole place in his own self-satisfaction.
In that as well, when he filmed the one where he finally figured it out and realized he discovered wormholes to ultimate realities, he pauses and then has his little remote for the camera and like zooms in on himself as he drops the big reveal. It's like, who are you making these for? Like,
he knows
for himself.
He knows how to please.
He's a real showman.
Jerry O'Connell.
He knows what the audience wants, and the audience is him.
He's incredibly vain. Ever since he copped, all that shit in Stand By Me for being the chubby one, he overcorrected massively.
He's going to find an alternate reality where he was in Stand By Me, but he was the slim, handsome one.
He was River Phoenix.
Yeah. Die young, leave a beautiful corpse.
Did you guys notice there was one scene when they're in Soviet USA, there's like the scene where they're walking down the street and it's like all the soldiers picking up people off the street, just left, right and center. There's one scene where they just like the secret police grab a woman off the street and get her in the car, and the guy's wearing one of the secret agent guys is wearing a trench coat, and he gets in the car, closes the door, but like pretty much his entire jacket.
I didn't see that. It's like a foot of coat hanging at the door, and they just drive.
It's like most of his jacket's still at the car door. The best part is, it's like they probably wouldn't have noticed that at all until way later. And it's like, you can't really film this.
It's such a dark scene. Surely you just cut it though. It's not, it's so unessential.
Don't end that scene. Put something else in.
It's but that's just showing how ruthless they are, Morgs. They don't even care about their own.
Don't even care about their own jackets.
This is what it's like to live under communist rule.
Yeah.
I did love that when the professor goes to get a hot dog.
My stomach has no political preferences. Sausage.
Oh man, I really enjoyed JRD as we know. Man,
he was a lot.
The first episode was perfectly fine.
Like I said, I really liked it to the point where I was like, you know what? I'd probably watch a bit more of this.
I reckon the first season of this show is probably quite good.
I think so.
Yeah, they were very like generic sitcom tropes. Like like you said, he comes back and he's got to undo all of the wrongs that he did in alternate reality, him coming back and quitting his job and, you know.
Yeah.
Finally standing up to the professor and like all of that generic like Sean Penn in Ridgemont High dropkick dude at the back of the class, like, yeah, cool, man. Can't believe
it. Oh, yeah. The massive YouTube
finally
fan.
Stood up to the brass, yeah.
He's right, dude. I mean, I think Arturo is a pompous windbag, too, but I'd never have the guts to say it to his face. Big time congrats.
Big time congrats, man.
Right on.
My favorite comment from the professor was, after they slid for the first time and Wade said that was better than sex, and the professor was like,
well, I wouldn't go that far.
Man, he fucks.
He fucks better than a wormhole, for sure.
Yeah. I didn't catch that, but I'd believe it. JRD, he's a thespian, lover, actor. Yeah, he's got, well, thespian, actually the same thing, but still. Thespian and lover. There you go. That's all you need to know about John Rhys Davies.
He's got it all.
He's got it all.
Big old dwarf dong.
Now, do you remember... Dwarf dong. I
10 seconds of song.
That's what I do. Yeah, when I edit this episode, I don't fill the gap. I just leave a gap when you say something awful.
And then dwarf pants. One other thing I want to talk about is the militia, the revolutionary group, which within a minute is happily to accept the fact that these people are from a parallel universe.
Yep.
They seem totally fine with that. All right, I'll take that. Then at the very end, after their version of Wade, she's killed. The guy who was the new leader and her lover, he is totally fine. No mourning. He's just like, cool. Hey, thanks. You've given us some serious hope. All right. Adios.
See you. Jump through the wormhole now.
I get that they need to just sort of speed everything up because you don't have time to flesh out.
Gotta keep moving,
we don't believe you. Da da da. But, oh man, that was probably the only part to me where I was like, oh man.
He's a hardened revolutionary.
Yeah, I know, but he's willing to accept that
his heart died years ago.
Parallel versions of them coming into this dimension.
Yeah, and Quinn, on the other hand, he's not a hardened revolutionary. He's into Wade and thinks she's dead when it's the parallel version of her, and he runs up and he's like, oh my god, Wade. But then his Wade comes over and like, oh, he's still alive. And then he's just totally fine. He's kind of just seen his friend die, and then
now he's cool with it.
If someone was to die in an alternate reality, does it really count? Like, if you were to slide into an alternate dimension and you saw an alternate version of someone that you were close to die, would you care? Are they real people? Are they just a figment of your imagination?
I mean, that's a great question. Are they real people if they're not from your reality?
Yeah. Like, they might be real people to themselves, but to you, they're just, you know, whatever.
Just someone
on the other end of a wormhole.
They're just an equation.
Infinite versions of you dying an infinite number of times at all times. So, I think if you can kind of come to terms with that, you could probably distance yourself from it.
And Quinn's a scientist, so you know he's very sort of matter of fact about these sorts of things. He doesn't let emotion get in the way.
And I feel like it'd take a toll the first time.
It's one Wade of an infinite sea of Wades that he could, you know, potentially hook up with at the computer store.
That's true.
So maybe you could sort of reframe it in a kind of Jet Li's The One sort of situation of like every instance of you that dies in an alternate reality kind of gives you a little bit of strength, you know.
It's going to be the best Quinn going around, best Quinn and Wade.
His Wade's sort of stronger now that the other one's gone, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
One thing we didn't touch on in alternate reality, Soviet ruled USA, is the one that's like a... There's a music video show on or something, and there's like a rap.
The rap is
a rap song.
Comrade, comrade, get on down. Get that train right into town. Serve your state and feed your people, because the end of the world is evil.
I like that.
This is like another sketch.
Support the people.
Yeah, it was another sketch.
You know, your work. They're rapping about
communist rappers.
Communist rappers.
Rapping about. Power of the people and all that sort of stuff. I really enjoyed that.
I love the idea of the writers of this show sitting in a room thinking about, like, okay, it's got to still be America, but how are we going to make it?
Yeah.
Make it communist.
Like
communist
it's Soviet
America.
Russia.
Yeah. Yeah.
The perfect blend. I thought they could have done more with the hot dog stand guy. That's all I'm saying.
It wouldn't have been hot dogs. It would have been, I don't know.
Russian.
Some.
Something. What are they?
Some Russian. Like
some borscht. Russian hot dog thing.
Borscht. Yeah.
I was going to say borscht.
Borscht.
Delicious beetroot soup.
Yeah. You know, vodka stand.
From the vendor.
It was a big swing in this first episode, I think.
Oh,
I mean, you've got limitless options, but going into some big, like, alternate history thing.
I think it was cool. I liked it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was interesting. I was keen to... As soon as you saw, like, this is where we're going, I was like, all right. Yeah.
Because the show itself, like, it just gives you so many avenues to work off. And if you think, I think back to like one of the last sci-fi shows we did, which was the 4400, that had like these great opportunities that it never really went down. Where I think this show, at least, I mean, from the indications and what I've done read outside of this, it kind of explores, like, you know, they going to alternate history and you know, you have an ensemble cast and different views where you can sort of explore these stories and narratives a little bit more. And where something like 4400, it kind of jumped over a lot of great opportunities to do something interesting with the story and just did something pretty mundane and, well, pretty well done.
But also the structure is quite different. Like, this is
true. They're very different shows.
Like, this is very similar to, like, Quantum Leap in that, like, you can do something very satisfying in a single episode that isn't reliant on really long arcs.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Which you can do. Which is obviously what they've done down the line. Yeah.
Mm. You got the perfect narrative vehicle of it being an alternate dimension that they just drop in and out of.
Yeah.
And that can be your self-contained little, like, monster of the week type episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. In this universe, this happens.
Yeah, you can do things and then wipe the slate clean and then start again the next episode.
Like Stargate. You're literally going through a portal to another world for just one episode and then you come back out.
It really is the foundation that sci-fi is built on, isn't it? Because that's very Star Trek as well.
Mm.
That's all they really do.
Yeah, but this is Stargate meets Quantum Leap, basically, Jez. I think you've kind of nailed that.
Meets Rick and Morty.
Mm. But while all these positives we can take away from the pilot episode and the concept of this show... That's not going to be carried over into the finale, because I got some notes about the finale. So maybe we should jump into the finale and see why this show ended abruptly.
In the finale of Sliders, only two of the original characters remain: Rembrandt and Quinn. Although Quinn has maybe been replaced at some point along the way, and he's an alternate universe Quinn, but we don't really need to get into it. The pair are joined by Maggie Beckett and Dr. Diana Davis, two new companions on the slide hustle. The four of them slide out of their current reality and into one made purely from fan service, a world where sliding is not only well documented, but has transformed into a pseudo-religion.
You see, it's your fellowship and your philosophy of life that fueled a following that is today tens of thousands strong.
They meet the Seer, a man who has visions and paints the Sliders' adventures across dimensions. However, he has predicted that their next slide will be their last.
The moment you emerge from the other side of the wormhole, you will all instantly die.
Despite having crazy fans licking the bottom of their shoes to get time with them, they attempt to leave, only to have their slide blocked, not unlike a bully would on a playground. They find a way around it by locating some alternate slide equipment, which generates a weird red portal, red being code for unstable.
Containment is deteriorating rapidly. Look, guys, there may be enough power only for one of us to go through.
Rembrandt, as the only original slider remaining, jumps through on his own, and with the seer dead, the show ends on a cliffhanger, never to be resolved.
Okay, so there's tons of spot fires in this show, apart from the whole storyline being an absolute train wreck. But there's one particular scene I want to talk about when Maggie, the new... that person that plays Maggie, I've seen her in a bunch of stuff. Her and Rembrandt go to the super fans, and they're playing the trivia game downstairs. Okay, so we need to just unpack that scene a little bit. So let's kick off with... They came up with the name, the guy. So the two actors and the two extras. The guy came up with the names for the two extras on the spot. Yeah, this is Nubsy and Schmo.
Welcome to the club. This is Lisa and Nubsy and Schmo.
Hey, Schmo.
We were just playing the Sliders trivia game.
Nubsy and Schmo.
And so they're all wearing the Sliders merch. They both got Sliders caps on.
I swear to God, if that was not come up with on the spot, that is. You need to, did they have an 8-year-old writing that?
Yeah, if someone took the time to put that on paper, they have to get fired.
Yeah, exactly. Nubsy and
Schmo. And then somebody respected it enough to put it in the show.
Yeah. Let's forgive Nubsy and Schmo for a minute and go to the point where, they're trying to get the virus to kill the Cro-Mags, which is a whole other thing we can talk about in a second, but... When he goes to draw...
I think I know what you're going to say, but... I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, the drawing of the blood... He just gets goes to draw his blood, gets the syringe because Nubsy, the guy who's clearly the worst name that they've ever come up with. He's a diabetic. I'll get this needle, and he goes he raises the needle above his head, and then just jams it into his arm, and then just takes blood out. He's like, yeah, no, I take blood. I'm like,
what? He's got incredible vein presence. He knows where they are at all times.
As a way to make sure, because only one of them wanted to go back through the portal to make sure that it was safe kind of thing. And then they, put the word out that they could all come back through kind of thing because the seer had foretold that there was danger on the other side. To make sure that Rembrandt was the one to go through, he injects himself with
the blood.
His blood.
The blood.
You can't do that. Just inject someone's blood straight into
and that's
it doesn't work like that. You got to... They haven't checked whether or not his body would just reject it. He'd probably
he's probably get really sick.
It's sepsis or something.
He's getting incredibly sick. Yeah, it's sepsis. That's just what?
Can how much of a pass can we give everything in this show by them just saying, that's another reality?
Yeah.
Things work different there.
You can't.
Another reality.
Nubsy and Schmo is Nubsy Jim and Schmo. John. Okay. Dime a dozen.
And there's no such thing as blood types.
There's nothing inside your flesh. It's just all blood swimming around inside your
whole body's a giant vein.
Skin sack.
It's honestly,
also blood is viruses.
That is actually that outstrips. I've been bringing up the electrolyte imbalance from Smallville for a long time. That has just jumped straight over it. That's the new standard for bad science in TV shows.
There's a nugget of the premise in there that kind of works in that there would be antibodies in his blood or something. Probably isolate and whatever.
Yeah,
science it up.
But don't inject the blood, the vial of blood into your arm. Take the vial of blood.
I don't think that'll work. Yeah,
I just
that's
I
not how vaccines work. It's not just whoever's vaccinated. You take some of their blood,
put it into your blood,
and just pass.
And then you're fine. Oh man, I just
Not only that. The guy's names were Nubsy and Schmo.
Nubsy and Schmo.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that I found, I found that completely egregious. That is, it's probably the worst thing in the episode.
There is no reality in which those names exist.
Exactly, it's Nubsy and Schmo.
That is one of the fundamental laws of physics. You can have your multiverse theory, but never Nubsy and Schmo.
Exactly. Also, guy that told me about Nubsy and Schmo, can you explain to me why you're wearing a fake goatee? Because I need to know the answers behind that too. He was such a strange character.
He's the head of the fan club.
They just this whole last episode was just such a heap of shit. To the point, like I said, so what I do know, so Fox cancelled this show after season three, and that's season two, John Rhys-Davies left.
But there are five of them.
Exactly. So the Sci-Fi Channel picked it up for the last two seasons. So you can basically, from about season three, when it ran out of Fox money and had Sci-Fi money, it's just gone downhill. So
surely Rembrandt wasn't still drawing in 20K for those episodes.
I don't know. I don't think so.
So you think that might have been him at his peak? He was at 20K.
I think so. So they from what I read,
the rest of the cast budget to him.
What I read, so they killed off John Rhys-Davies' character. Spoilers, if you guys planning watching it, they kill him off in end of season two because he walked out in the show. Apparently, had some serious issues with it. He walked out, he left, and then they replaced him with Maggie. She comes in season two, but apparently the woman that played Maggie didn't get along with the woman that played Wade, so they had some serious issues. So Wade left in season three, and then O'Connell remained. I think he was in season four, and then his brother Charlie O'Connell joined the cast, and then I think those two left, and then it was just Rembrandt was the only one still standing. Wow. Probably just because he's getting a regular gig.
What a shipwreck.
What I like about their dispute resolution techniques is their tactic is basically, all right, who's earning more money? You're out.
Yeah,
It's basically the Renegade show production style of just... It was old mate in Renegade when he's like, he got a new wife. It's like they just wrote the other one out.
Get rid of the other one.
Brought the new one in. And he's like, no, I don't like this person. Can you get rid of them?
Get rid of her too. just me and Bobby Six Killer. It's just how you did things in the 90s.
Simpler time.
Different time.
What I want to know is, do you think that in this episode, they're making fun of their own fans? Or do you think it's kind of like they're trying to do a bit of a love letter to them? Because there's
I think it's a bit of both.
Yeah, because they're playing like a Sliders quiz board game. And they're such dweebs.
Three.
What was the name of Rembrandt's best friend and former member of the Spinning Tops?
Like, they really painted them with a particular brush.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't imagine I would like that if I was a big Sliders fan, especially if you'd stuck on to season five. Like, you're like, man, I know they're going to wrap it up really well and they're going to do me a service.
Yeah. they went
making fun of you in the last episode.
Yeah, they're just calling everyone
idiot.
A bunch
why'd
of...
Why'd you stick around watching the show?
But all our viewers are a bunch of diabetics named Nubsy.
Nubsy Schmo.
And we'll give you a...
That's brutal.
We'll give you a horrible cliffhanger.
Exactly. Well. And didn't even give them the credit of giving them decent human names for the characters. No. Just gave them Nubs and Schmo.
Oh, maybe some people have written names. In fan letters. Whoever wrote in fan letters got named after characters named after them in the show. Maybe there was a couple of Nubsies and
that
Schmoes.
That wouldn't surprise me.
It's so infuriating. Just give like why Nubsy. It's literally like just like Schmo and like it's like a, like the last name's like a mumble.
You just kind of trailed off there. You didn't actually say any words.
Oh no, I said Nubsy.
Morgan, were their names made up by heavily featuring Quinn's full length leather duster?
Oh yeah.
Yes, I did have a note of that.
It was very.
That was.
I know. Full length is full length, but that was full length.
They definitely
was length plus two.
Full length plus. Yeah.
Like, but they're trying to dress up that version of Quinn as much as they can. Like, let's get Lorenzo Lamas's duster from Renegade. We'll just pull that out of wardrobe, and you're away. That should.
If anything's getting stuck in the bottom of a car door, that's it.
the only person that's pulled off a leather duster is Dennis from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and Spike from Buffy. They're the only two duster instances that have worked in my life.
And Lorenzo.
Oh, well, I guess Lorenzo as well. Anything after that is just a poor hack job.
Mm-hmm.
I had such a hard time watching this last episode. I was just like, end.
It was less than half the runtime, but felt like triple it.
100% it. Like, it was such a drag. Like, the first one was 87 minutes, but watchable. This was just so bad. It's like, they just had no money, no ideas, just really... It's like, why even set up a cliffhanger when this is clearly, that's it? Like, this is... You're so out of gas. You've got, all the cast has turned over, except for one guy who's just cashing a check. This is catastrophic.
They could have at least ended with a song, you know?
Let Rembrandt get his pipes out again.
Is that like a euphemism? Get the pipe out, Rembrandt.
The fans want.
Where's the pipe? Where's the?
Is it time to slide over into reboots?
I think it's time to slide out of this and into reboots. Yeah.
Can I start this? Is that okay?
Sure,
please.
Okay. I know you guys are familiar with reality TV, but have you heard of alternate reality TV?
Ooh.
I'd like to welcome you to the latest alternate reality TV show. It's called Shovers, and this is where contestants shove each other into other realities, and the aim is to survive in that reality and adjust to the rules of that universe as quickly as possible. So every societal rule that you break is some sort of deduction. So you drive through a green light when you're supposed to stop. That's a deduction. You say God bless America instead of pledge your allegiance to the chairman. That's a deduction. And yeah, essentially all the different contestants just shove each other into realities and see who ends up with a high score at the end. Who can
so see who can like sort of acclimatize to the new reality the best. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just a reality chameleon.
Shovers.
Are they aware that they're getting shoved into a new reality? I guess they would be.
Yeah.
Okay.
How long are they in there for?
How long? I think it's got to be a set amount of time. So maybe like...
Well, that's 3 hours? That lives within the rules of Sliders, that you're on a clock each time.
Yeah, so you have to set the dial. Shove in.
How long do you think it would take, if you knew that you were about to slip into another dimension, how long do you think it would take you to work out the rules of this new dimension?
Shift gears.
Really depends. There's a big variance.
You'd want to try and like do as much as possible in a short amount of time. So you want to be out in public experiencing the world.
Well, that would be part of the score. That'd be a part of the scoring system. It'd be like if you do things properly within that reality.
If we're in lockdown and we slid into another reality where we're in lockdown, you know, what are you going to notice?
You're all of a sudden an anti-lockdown protester, and it's a fish out of water in a world he doesn't understand.
Yeah,
this door opened the other way in my reality, and that's basically it.
This gate wasn't squeaky.
Yeah,
maybe it's more like The Amazing Race, and you've got to do set challenges, but you've got to get away with it.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good. Because you know, even like going to the shops could be a whole.
Pairs. Maybe you get shoved in pairs, and you got to go in and do your tasks and get away with it, and then get back, bring back some sort of item from an alternate reality.
I like that.
I'm into it.
Shovers.
Can I go next?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go next just because mine's actually pretty similar to yours, Scott. My one is called Sliding, which is a game show hosted by John Rhys-Davies where contestants slide into different realities and have to survive for whatever time they're allocated in there. So you might slide into a ice universe, got to survive for 4 or 5 hours. You might slide into a Soviet universe, got to survive for a week. So it's essentially
Man versus Wild to Scott's
Man versus alternate universe.
Man versus universe, and John Rhys-Davies is Bear Grylls, except he doesn't go into the realities with you. He just kind of hangs
Man versus Wild to Scott's Amazing Race.
Pretty much, you could say that's essentially what it was.
Alternate reality TV network going here.
Could you make yours more like Naked and Afraid, Morgs, where you slide, but you slide naked? Slide them into a new reality, and it's like,
hope you don't end up in an ice age, otherwise then you're real fucked. We could definitely do that. I mean, there's like the sky's the limit on this thing, really. So
limitless options. I'm liking all the different verbs we can play with here. I mean, you mentioned at the start, Scott, this was Slide, Quantum Leap, Jumpers was a movie. I reckon people are probably just like ticking off different verbs as we go. My favourite one that I want to see is scooches. So where someone invents a couch that like in the middle there's like a wormhole, and then someone sits down next to them and they're like, oh, can you scooch over?
So
you have to scooch into another reality. And it's just all like crowded furniture based antics. Just
scooches. Is that your reboot?
That's my reboot. Scooches.
Scooches.
Mine's going back to the Lord of the Rings theme, and it's called Striders, and it's just a bunch of alternate reality Aragons.
Oh yeah,
Jerry O'Connell's one of them.
I haven't really worked it out yet.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, I feel like we can do some of that. We get some TV writers on it.
Really feel like you kind of came up with that in the last half an hour.
Well, there was a lot of Lord of the Rings talk early on, you know.
Not all of us have a direct line to PJ Morgs.
No, it's true. Not all of us do. I guess I'm one of the lucky ones. One of the lucky few. All right. So is that reboot's done, and are we moving into the IMDb list of the episode?
This is one of the rare times when we've had a finale that bad, but I would 100%. It's 100% better than whatever Jeremy's reboot was.
I'd watch Striders.
What is it, though?
Director's cut?
I don't know. It's just Aragon.
You're just getting
Viggo Morgenstern.
It's just Viggo Morgenstern just doing. You just put a camera on him and just say, do whatever.
Yeah, instead of Aragon.
Yeah, but it's with the alternate reality, you know. That's the kind of. That's the kicker. That's the little bit of Flav running through it.
Instead of Aragon, Legolas, and Gimli, it's Jerry O'Connell, Nubsy, and Schmo just roaming across Middle Earth.
Leave Nubsy and Schmo out of this.
All right, the list. Right.
Yes.
The list is this episode, Hypnotized Women in Film and TV.
Hypnotized.
Interesting.
Hypnotized women, actresses who have been hypnotized, brainwashed, possessed, and/or mind controlled in TV shows or movies. Ugh. This one's hot off. Well, not off the press, but it's a work in progress. It was updated 22 hours ago.
Damn.
So this person has made a list of 861 names of women who have been hypnotized, including a note of what they were hypnotized in.
Wow.
They are really into this thing.
This is 100% a sex thing.
Oh, like, absolutely.
This is definitely a fetish of some description.
Like, what I find interesting about those is that they're public. Like, you could keep that private if you wanted to.
You could.
But clearly an element of it is knowing that other people know about it.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Does that them trying to normalize it? Being like, well, I'm just doing a public service. This is the information maybe, people want. Yeah.
Depends on what you... Depends.
I don't know. Well, give us some examples. Let's find out.
Well, our representative is Sabrina Lloyd, who played Wade in the first episode. In season 3, episode 12 of Sliders, she was hypnotized, brainwashed, possessed, or mind-controlled.
Doesn't even say which one.
Which one?
Does it...
No, I reckon they really phoned it in, didn't they?
I reckon brainwashed.
Brainwashed?
Yeah.
I mean,
going with the theme from the first episode, you know.
To be honest, like this
indoctrinated kind of thing.
This list is incredibly long. I don't recognize most of the names. Jessica Alba, Dark Angel, season 2, episode 15. Kirstie Alley, Village of the Damned.
They've really done their work.
Oh yeah,
they've put in a lot of work into this.
Wow.
I've seen Village of the Damned. It is not good.
Did Kirstie Alley get brainwashed, hypnotized, mind controlled, or possessed?
I don't remember. I don't really remember. It was a long time ago.
Where does possessed feels a little different? You know,
it does.
Well, possessed. Like, Village of the Damned. It's like they're devil children, so they kind of like. I guess that's still mind control. So,
I mean,
possessed is very specific. It's very specific for like a.
It's like some sort of demon is. Yeah. Exactly. Whilst all the other ones are like, it could just be some run-of-the-mill person, you know?
Like for example, the person making this list, they could maybe do it to anyone.
Exactly,
women.
And I think they're probably maybe thinking about
maybe.
It's kind of chilling a little bit.
It is a little bit.
Twitch his own.
Tweet? Well, maybe not.
maybe.
Yeah, is that saying run its course? Twitch their limit. Own?
There's a limit.
There's a touch of definitely a part. Limit.
I think they have to be lucid and conscious.
To each their own, to a point. Within reason.
To a point.
Exactly.
With an asterisk. Oh, boy. Well, that's definitely one of the creepier lists that you've found.
Pretty unsettling.
Yeah. Yeah, very unsettling. But hey, like, you know, what? Like, if you're into that, Maybe keep it private. Make the list private. But hey, look, if you get off more knowing that we know it, and now that's now this list actually has another platform which to spread out, we can, I guess this guy's getting off a lot.
Don't yuck their yum, Morgs.
Hey, exactly, exactly.
Within reason.
No, hey, hey, look, hey, we're not here to judge the fans of the show or the fans of you know, hypnotism fetishes.
Or the creators judge of IMDb lists.
Yeah, exactly. We're here to judge the TV show, which we have done. Some good, some bad. But speaking of that, maybe we should start to wrap things up a little bit now. So final thoughts on Sliders. Would you guys go back and watch any more of this? Did you hate it? Did you like any of it
is like the first episode, I really would, because I thought it was probably one of the better first episodes that we've watched.
Yeah, I've sort of been thinking about this. I'd like to go back and rank the shows we've watched in terms of like episodes, but I think this would definitely be this pilot was really watchable. It was good fun. I think I'd go back and watch more of it.
It certainly falls into the trap that almost all sci-fi shows just turn to shit by the end of it.
Exactly.
And become parodies of themselves.
And because they take on, you need to keep upping the stakes, and you up the stakes to a certain point where it just becomes insane. When the stakes get higher and your budget gets lower, it's really hard to marry those up.
It's the quality universal suffers. Paradigm.
Yeah, I would Google what is the best episode of Sliders and watch that, which I think is more than you can say for most shows we do.
It could well be the pilot.
I'd say it's probably the pilot. I get the sense the first like couple of like seasons 1 and 2 of this are good, and then everything, and then season 3 is meh, and then 4 and 5 are like I think trash. 4 and 5. What we saw in that finale was what most of 4 and 5 would have been like.
Yep.
Because I have a distinct memory of a zombie episode, and I looked it up, and there was a zombie episode, and that was season 3.
Zombie universe.
I mean, there was some pretty wild shit in the opening credits of the last episode. There were dinosaurs, there were giant spiders. They were going every which way.
Jerome, would you go back and watch any of this?
Definitely not.
Definitely.
I think I've seen the best episode.
I'd give it a go.
Maybe some JRD episodes. Yeah.
This is why Peter Jackson isn't asking you to hang out with him.
Yeah. This is why Peter Jackson isn't asking you to his Auckland villa like I go to, you know, every winter. And then we hang out and we just brainstorm about new violent, you know, black comedies that we could make.
Hey Morgan, I heard you and PJ have a new version of Lord of the Rings coming out.
We do. Yeah, we do.
I'm very excited for it. It's got legs.
It's got legs. Is there a hidden joke there that I'm not picking up on? I think there is.
Oh yeah, you and PJ stole Jeremy's reboot because he wouldn't come hang out in Auckland.
Exactly right. It's Striders. Of course, Striders. Unbelievable. All right, well then maybe we just tie things off there. Jez, not a fan of Sliders. You think it's peaked in episode one, season one. I don't think that's. I think you could be right. I think you could be bang on. If it ends up on a streaming service of mine that I've got, I will watch a few more episodes up to a point. Other than that, I reckon maybe we just leave it there.
Within reason,
but yeah, within reason. I'm not going to go crazy.
Huge
I'm not going
on this episode.
Once John Rhys-Davies is killed off, I think I'm out too. I think I'm only going as far as JRD goes. But as always, please look us up on your social channels, Facebook, Instagram. I think we're on, I believe we're on Twitter, but don't worry about that, Podcast Artists. And please rate and review on your preferred podcasting channel, as it always goes a long way to helping us out. Anyway, thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Morgan.
And thank you, Jerome.
Thank you.